and welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
And we're going to be talking about more episodes of Supernatural, season 5 to be exact.
Woohoo.
This week we watched Fallen Idiots, Idols.
Wow.
I Believe the Children Are Our Future, and The Curious Case of Dean Winchester. Why are you laughing at me?
Why do you think I'm laughing at you?
Because of Fallen Idiots.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I didn't realize they were idols until I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Boy, oh boy.
I was like, Fallen Idiots. And you were like, not the Green Day song.
That's American Idiot.
Oh.
Boy.
Same thing.
Train wreck already.
Yeah. Okay, so the first episode, Fallen Idols, is the... I kept saying House of Wax, but it, like, I mean...
Jared's movie?
Yeah, exactly. It's the Wax Museum of people. I don't even remember what... It was the god, right? It was a pagan god that needed to kill people, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Hilton was in it. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a filler episode. I don't remember a lot of it. I feel like I haven't seen this one a lot.
There are better episodes to watch in season 5 than this one.
Yeah, I do really like, though, I've always said, like, why do we always have fillers? Like, it's always just like, do we have bigger fish to fry? Like, come on. And Sam, like, drew attention to that. Like, Dean, why are we doing this? Like, why are we going off this hunt? We have, like, other things to deal with right now. And Dean's like, well, no, like, they were like, we need to work on us and all that stuff. But I did like that they drew attention to that, because I feel like... In later seasons, I'm like, why are we doing this hunt? I don't care. Get back to the program.
There are monsters out there.
So for these episodes, it was just kind of like cute things I really liked. Like, Dean was scared of the little bastard car, but he also like loved it. But he's like, no, gotta show respect. Like, I did really enjoy that.
Yeah, you gotta respect that car. Otherwise, you know, you could be next.
Which is not true, though, because the car was a fake.
I don't know. That was making some weird sounds when he was under it.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, it was just an old car. Those maybe rickety, like, support beams and whatnot.
Cars don't have support beams.
No. The support things that...
Oh, the jacks?
Yeah. Also, in this episode, we get our 12th blood cannon.
Wow.
Our last... We had to look this up because...
I almost forgot blood cannons happened.
Existed. Yeah, I was like, I don't... It has been a while, but how long is it? And I was, like, going through my notes. I was like, I couldn't find it. Our last blood cannon, I made a note of it, was season 3, episode 7. That's a long time ago.
Almost two entire seasons ago, you could say?
Yeah. It pretty much is. Because we're on episode...
5.
Like, 7, yeah.
5, so...
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting, and I was like, oh, really? This is our... The next blood cannon? I always thought there was, like, way more blood cannons than there were, but maybe I only watch the episodes with blood cannons. New theory. The episodes with blood cannons are only the good ones.
The only ones worth watching are blood cannons.
Which is 13 episodes. Yeah, it makes sense. I did also like that for this episode, they went undercover as, like, three separate things. Like,
oh, yeah.
They went undercover as, like, the FBI, as, like, a journalist, and then, like, a medical examiner, which I was like, wow, this is, like, I feel like our only episode that we ever see this, because they're always just, like, FBI.
They switched it up. I mean, I guess Sam could have been FBI, but they usually don't change into scrubs.
Yeah. That's why I said a medical examiner, because...
So fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I feel like a bad coroner would not leave a body with the FBI that they could just, like, demolish.
Are you literally kidding me? The medical examiners are just like, you're FBI? Great. Here's the body. I'm going to lunch.
Oh.
They, like, always leave. They don't supervise them, because they're just like, oh, it doesn't look like a wolf bites. Heart's still there. Like, whoa.
Getting more to, like, the... plot of the episode that really brings stuff forward is that I really liked that the pagan god
Leshy,
mm-hmm. Yes, it's telling the boys, you know, as dressed up as Paris Hilton, mm-hmm. that you know, like, monsters aren't really caring right now about people, like, because it's the end of the world, like, it's the world's gonna end,
it's the apocalypse, baby.
So, like, they're just kind of like, I'm just gonna eat until I die, I'm just gonna stuff my face, I'm just gonna do what I want until I die, because that's what it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And to me, that was kind of scary when we first watched it, because that just kind of shows that, you know, if all the monsters are like, yeah, it's bad, the boys should maybe be scared.
They should be a little bit concerned,
because like, the monsters are scared, so it's not really scared, but they're like, well, I think we're all gonna die, so what does that say about everything?
Didn't really think about it that way.
Yeah, that was like a big thing. That's like the one thing, what animals do that? Or, like, bugs. Like, if they leave, it's like, what's going on?
Like when there's like a forest fire or something and there's like no animals or something?
No, like, there's like a specific animal. The other example I have is like if you go into a woods and like it's like dead silence, like no bugs, no crickets, no nothing. It's like, well, what's wrong with this picture? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I just thought it was fun that the pagan god dressed up as Paris Hilton, and then Paris Hilton in this episode like roasts herself. She's like, this? Celebrities? This is what passes for idolatry?
Yeah,
ridiculous. I'm a god.
I did like that. Well, yeah, I did like this. Also, I like that Paris Hilton beat the shit out of Jensen Ackles.
That was funny.
And was I like fun. How they did say that, because Sam was just like, you were just beat up by Paris Hilton. Like,
yeah, can you? I would say, could you imagine? But we can't because we've seen it.
The only really big thing in this episode that they talk about was that Sam tells Dean, they have this conversation that I forgot. Because, you know, I think he's on the phone with Bobby, right? And he makes a diss towards Sam.
Oh, yeah. He was being really bitchy.
About, like, yeah, I understand it's the apocalypse, but you know who started this, right? And Sam was just kind of like, what the heck, Dean? Like, I understand. And honest to God, at first, I was like, maybe he was referring to himself. Like, I forgot how bitchy Dean gets to Sam.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I just kind of forgot because Dean was always just like, big brother, gotta protect Sam. But I forgot he like really, really like does not trust Sam anymore. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot. Like, I don't know. I just, it doesn't stay very long I don't know. But then, you know, Sam gives him the line back that like, well, you know, I went with Ruby because like you held me back. I didn't feel strong with you. I felt like little baby Sammy. So I went with Ruby because I was like in charge.
Exactly. Sam tells him he's, you know, before it didn't work. You know, he didn't want to be treated like a kid brother. And like you said, that's like one of the reasons he goes off with Ruby. And he goes off with Ruby because he wants to, you know, feel like his own person. You know, like you said, he feels powerful and control, you know, and separating from that like codependent brother relationship, which kind of happens with like Dean and Cass in the same sort of way, except Dean didn't kind of know or say that he wanted to get out of the codependency that they had because that didn't work for them as a team.
Oh, I didn't think about it that
yeah.
way.
But we see this desire to sort of separate from his brother, have like a friend, someone he can lean on in the siren episode, because that's what he gets. His siren is, the siren becomes somebody he can just hang out with. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to worry about him, which I think this is something he realized he wanted in Free to Be You and Me after he says he's had so much fun with Cass and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, looking out for Sam, being the big brother. So he gets this experience of being like friends with somebody else instead of the sort of caretaker of this other person.
Well, and that's why when we watched this, it really solidified my beliefs of why Dean and Cass, like their relationship was so strong so quickly,
right.
is because he needs that extra trusting person in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So if Sam's not going to be it, he can trust Cass.
Right. He can sort of rely on him, sort of depend on him a little bit.
And he doesn't need to worry about him.
Right, exactly.
And that was another thing, because Dean was always, you know, not trustful. And it's only family he trusts.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he trust this angel? But it makes sense, because that's the only real person. I don't know. Because then, he could go for Bobby for help, but it's, like, not the same.
It's still family.
Yeah, but I think Bobby would also tell Dean to get over himself, because he has in the past.
Right.
I think that's the big thing, is that Bobby in the past has said, like, Dean, get over yourself. Quit being a brat.
Boo, princess, your feelings hurt.
Yeah, seriously. But Cass is kind of on his side, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's sitting there, you know.
Well, this just reminds me of that, like, meme of, I love both Winchesters equally. And then it's supposedly cut to Cass. It's an Arrested Development meme, but it's like, I don't care for Sam.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
Cass particularly likes Dean a little bit more.
Sure. I mean, he's not the one to drink demon blood, so.
Yeah, I think he's just like,
he's still a little bit.
Not my type.
About that.
Yeah. And then Cass says something to Sam. I'm pretty sure on the next episode of, he still doesn't really like Sam or doesn't really trust Sam. You know what I mean? Like,
he's not sending out big friend vibes to Sam.
Yeah, like, they're just good acquaintances.
Yeah.
Not much else. He's like, this is my, like,
he's still watching really, out for
no,
Sam.
I just realized it really is just like, yeah, this is like my friend's brother.
Yeah, like, pretty much. He's like,
it's like, whatever. Like, this is just my friend's brother.
But Dean does come around. And he does apologize at the end of the episode.
I still think he was going to apologize to Sam about, like, that diss he made. I just was like, Dean, What?
Well, he does. Like, sort of.
No. I thought, but he meant it though. That's the thing that I was like this wasn't like sarcasm or like really meant for him, like making like a burn on himself. Mm-hmm. Like this was literally, oh, well, we know Sam did this. Like, guess whose fault this is? Like, and I was right. Just like, what?
Well, I mean, then at the end, he says that I broke the first seal. He admits he broke the first one, you know.
Well, that was after Sam was like, yeah, I know it's my fault. And he's like, well, I broke it too. Like, no.
Right,
No, Dean does apologize.
He was being a bitch earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. But he does apologize and he's like, that wasn't right of me to say.
Yeah.
I broke the first one.
Yeah.
And then Sam's like, you didn't know. And Dean's like, neither did you. Yeah, like, yeah, neither of us knew. We just, he's like, who thought killing Lilith would be a bad thing? Which, to be fair. I didn't expect it.
I didn't either.
Mm-hmm. But then, Dean, as a peace offering, he offers the keys to Sam.
Yeah, I did like that.
Meaning he trusts Sam with his most prized possession in the world, baby. Mm-hmm. So that was good. I also had, like, an afterthought.
Okay.
About this episode, vis-a-vis the title, Fallen Idols.
Uh-huh.
So Dean's idol was John.
Okay.
And Dean's already fallen out of, you know, grace with that. You know, he's just...
They do even mention it when Paris Hilton's like, who is your idol, John?
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, but Dean's already just like, that guy sucked.
Sorry, this is like really random, but I just thought about this. I wonder if the pagan god actually touched John's axe and turned into him, if it would have worked. Because Dean, like,
maybe
doesn't, like, idolize him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the sense that she thought he wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious.
That would have been interesting. I was thinking about that just in the sense whether they could get Jeffrey Dean Morgan for 2 minutes.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just curious. Like, I wonder
whether that would have worked.
It would have worked.
Which is interesting.
Because I think Dean doesn't idolize John anymore.
No, he does not.
So.
He does not.
Huh. That's interesting.
He has to be his own idol.
Yeah.
Like, he had to be his own father. But Sam's idol was always Dean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both of the brothers have lost their paternal idol. Mm-hmm. Because John was Dean's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean really is Sam's dad, right? So Dean now is not an authority figure that Sam has to, like, rebel against, but, like, appear to collaborate with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that that's kind of part of their growth here as brothers, which I do think kind of continues for the rest of the series, is they've kind of gotten over the fact that Dean can't fully tell Sam what to do anymore. He's not just his little kid brother, right? He's his own person. He makes his own choices. And clearly, Sam will go off and he will make his own choices. And so Dean has to accept that that's something that could happen. And so if they communicate and they talk and they're, you know, on better terms, maybe something like this won't happen again.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you. Like, that's why I was really confused, because this just, like, doesn't happen later on. I think, like, either or of the brothers can, like, do something. And the other brother does get angry, but at the end of the day, they usually just, like, help them out of the situation.
Right.
Does that kind of make sense? Like, if Sam later on was drinking demon blood,
not optimal.
Dean would be angry at Sam for doing it, but then would be helping Sam to get him out of this situation instead of just being angry at him that he's doing it in the first place.
Sure.
Do you kind of know what I mean?
Yeah.
They, like, move past the point of, like, okay, well, we already made our bed, so we just need to lay in it. Like, we just need to, like, figure out how to get rid of this now.
We already,
like,
started the apocalypse. Let's figure this out.
Yeah, kind of thing.
It's what's done is done.
I think it's just kind of, yeah. And then even, like, decisions that Dean makes, like, Sam just kind of is just like, okay, I don't agree with your decision, but, like, at the same time, like, he just, not that he doesn't care, but they work around it now, and it is more communicating.
Right.
But I do feel like they still keep things from each other. I think
it
works because, like, Cass also is, like, the third party in always all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, Bobby's, like, the third party in it. So either brother would, like, tell Bobby or Cass something, and then they're like, no, this is stupid. Don't do this. Or, like, they stop them. You know what I mean?
Or there's another outside voice of reason.
Yeah. That's not just the brothers butting heads all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't tell me what to do, Dean.
Yeah.
You have to do what I say.
Bobby or Cass, and then, yeah.
Definitely call him Bobby.
Yeah.
He can sort them out.
Yeah. So going into the next one is The Children Are Our Future.
Mm-hmm.
This is that Antichrist episode that, like, spoiler alert, we never see Jesse ever again.
What? We don't?
We don't? I know, right?
This powerful being? Is never mentioned again?
Well, and then I do love that, like, we all know what this episode is. Like, you're like, oh, it's like Antichrist episode with the kid. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. Like, it was okay. It was cool. Like, I liked the filler aspect of it because it was all, like, the funny kid things were coming to life. So it was all the lies that, like, you know, you tell children, like, the electric hand buzzer will actually electrocute you.
Right.
Although it was kind of sad because all these kids are, like, doing these stupid pranks. And then, like, people are dying. Like, I didn't mean to.
That poor old man, he's just like,
it was a joke.
I just shook his hand. He has this little buzzer.
I know. He's like, I didn't know it worked. I'm like, oh.
I mean, to be fair, it doesn't have batteries. How would you think that could electrocute someone to death?
I know. Yeah. I don't know. But I did like that Cass is in this episode, and I forgot too, and I was really excited. Cass, when he's explaining to the boys about the Antichrist, because they're like, oh, the devil's kid? What? Like, and they're like, no, no, no. Your Bible gets more wrong than it gets right. I'm like, burn.
Roasted.
Because, yeah, that's like the Antichrist. Oh, it's Lucifer's Satan's child. And it's like, no, it's a child with a demon and a human, I guess.
Cass is like, it's just a general term.
But they don't, explain it very well because, like, she was like, I'm a virgin, so is a demon impregnated? I don't know. I guess, like, it's very all confusing, but seems fake, but okay. I feel like a lot more people, I feel like demons would have more children if they were able to. So unless later on they say something, and I'm going to feel stupid if they do, like later on they say some big powerful demon was like, yes, I impregnated that woman. But I'm like, why can't a regular black-eyed demon just impregnate more children? They'd have more, like, literally demonic children on their hands.
That's interesting. I don't know.
Like, this whole thing, that seems very plot hole related. Yeah. Why didn't they do that? Thinking about this now, why don't demons just, like, knock up a bunch of people?
I mean, they sure could.
Why don't they, though? That's weird. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have time, but then at the same time, I would just still do it.
I don't know.
That is weird.
Hmm.
Food for thought, I guess. I did really like, and I wrote this down, that, you know, when Sam and Dean go to the mom's house, I don't remember her name. The real mother of Jesse.
Yeah, his biological mom.
Yes, yes. And, you know, they go bum-rushing the house, and she throws salt on them, and they're like, what? Why are you throwing salt on me? And she's like, oh, you're not demons. And they're like, you know about demons? And you were just like, it's like the Spider-Man meme where it's like, oh, I'm like, oh my God.
How do you know about demons?
It is. Oh. It was funny. I do like those. That is the perfect, like, realization of what it is. Just, I love those Spider-Man meme moments. You're like, oh.
And this one, it was like, wait a minute, we know the same thing?
Yeah. But the big, like, heavy part of this episode is that, you know, Sam doesn't want to kill this poor kid.
Sure.
But Cass does, because he's a demonic child that could, well, not really demonic child, but he's the Antichrist, whatever.
He could literally destroy the host of heaven.
Yeah.
Not good.
What he says.
Cannot happen.
Because, yeah, he's very powerful. And, of course, Sam's just like, well, I want to save him, blah, blah, blah. And I do see, like, you know, he wants to save him because that's the choices that... This is what happened with Sam.
Right.
He was told he's going to be evil and everything. And Cass, you know, gives him that really horrible roasted line of, like...
He might make the right choice, is what Sam says.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to defend this kid, but Cass is not having it.
No, he comes back with the line of, like, well, you didn't make the right one. Like, yikes, Sam's right. And see, the nice thing...
Cass did roast him.
I say the nice thing. I feel like this is why Sam is not relatable, but I can understand his character a lot more, is because he's trying his hardest to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never right.
He trying.
Especially in earlier seasons. And he, like, it's hard to see what the right choice is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thinks, like, he is making the right choice. I think they do say that, like... Something that, like, you think all of your choices are right, but they end up all being wrong, and it's hard to see in hindsight.
I don't know.
I don't remember. But I do feel bad for Sam, because, you know, he really is trying, and because he is conflicted, too, because he thinks that there's good in the world. He thinks that Jesse will make the right decision.
Right.
But here's the thing. He's also a very good person, and he didn't make the right decision. So I think it's really hard for him to be like, well, yeah, you're right, Cass, like, because I think I'm a good person.
It's a tough call.
And... He didn't make the, I say, quote unquote, right decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. To just murder a child, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, Cass does hesitate a little before he kills him. Well, yeah, he tries to kill him.
He doesn't get to kill him. He does say, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm sorry.
He thinks this is the right thing to do. And that's, Cass just wants to do the right thing and murder this child.
Well, it's not even the child. He just was worried of what it's going to become. It is the whole thing of
Sam.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
I know.
It really is the whole thing as like, I don't know. All I can think of is there's this post. I don't remember the whole thing of it.
Sure.
But it was, if you could, would you go back in time and kill Hitler or, like, try to help him?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the whole thing of, like, well, if you don't help him, he's going to turn into a crazy killer.
Mm-hmm.
So, or do you try to help him and then it may or may not work kind of thing. So I think it's the whole thing that Cass is trying to feel is that, like, he's like, I could let him go and we could help him, but will it be enough for him to not be evil?
Right.
Or whatever. So Cass is just, you know, orders from heaven. It's just, no, just get rid of him.
Not that it matters. Jesse turns him into an action figure, so.
Well, action figure Cass.
Yeah.
So cute.
And after all of this, of course, Jesse leaves, which was sad.
Whatever. That was super sad. And I'm sad we don't see him again, because this kid was hilarious.
Dude, we never see him again.
This kid was hilarious. He's just like, it's called soup. You heat it up and you eat it. Like, he's such a little bitch. I love him. I can't believe we don't get to see him again.
When we were watching this, too, I thought it was really interesting, because I said that, like, as we see Jesse, like, being a person. I don't know what else to say. Existing.
Right.
I was sitting there kind of just like, you know, he's a lot like a mixture of Sam and Dean.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's both qualities. And that makes sense, because, like, Dean is the oldest child, and mm-hmm. then Jesse is an only child. Mm-hmm. But he has, like, the compassion of Sam. And it literally was just, like, looking in a mirror of them, too.
Right.
And I think Sam and Dean kind of saw both of themselves in Jesse. And so, you know, like, they don't want to tell him, like, the apocalypse is ending and demons are coming after you and you have to save the world, kid. Because, you know, at the end of this episode, Dean's like, I wish John didn't tell us anything. Right. Wish John lied to us. So I think he was just kind of like, I don't want to break this kid's heart because we had to deal with that and it sucked.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The end of this episode. Yeah. Sam agrees with Dean when mm-hmm. he says that. He's like, yeah, you know, me too. This episode really is about the loss of innocence.
Yeah.
You know, they have to end Jesse's innocence and they don't like that because they've experienced that. And so they're mourning their loss
mm-hmm.
as well as Jesse's, which is a far cry from Jump the Shark, where we meet Adam. And Sam's like, I'm glad Dad raised us the way that he did. So, you know, we could be prepared for this, Dean. And Dean, you know, wanted him, hey, you're going to tell him about monsters and he's going to be hunted his whole life.
Dude, you're right.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Yeah.
Yeah, and why do they change? I'm like, what is this? Does this have to do with the apocalypse happening? Like, well, yeah, their free will situation?
Because Sam knows that, like, the Winchesters are in it. They've always were going to destined to be in it, mm-hmm. like the apocalypse.
Yep.
So Sam is like, well, no, I'm glad John taught us, well, in hindsight.
Yeah.
Because at the time we hated it, but, like, it was probably a better thing because then we probably would have been dead a long time ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... But then I was like, well, yeah, Jesse wouldn't be dead. Or this wouldn't affect Jesse. I was like, no, but he's still the Antichrist, though. So mm-hmm. it would affect him later down the road.
Because he's going to be hunted down. Him.
Yeah. Or he would lose control of his power. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. he only just started, like, really gaining it.
He's just doing goofy stuff.
Not even he's doing it. He just is what it's what his beliefs are just projecting onto the world.
Yeah, he's not really doing anything. It's just, because I remember I think turned Cass into, like, an action figure. And he's like, I don't know how I did it. It just happened.
Yeah.
He was going to kill me, and so action figure.
I was like, I wish he was an action figure. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, okay. Like,
mm-hmm. Just a miscellaneous thing I want to mention. When they go to the house with the babysitter at the beginning, mm-hmm. and Dean's talking to that kid, mm-hmm. he's like, do you know anything? Kid's like, I don't know nothing, mister. I swear I tell you. And Dean's, like, threatening to take him downtown. He's like, we could do this downtown, kid. And the kid's like, eep, He tells about the itching powder on the hairbrush. I thought that was kind of, like, out of character for Dean. Because, like, we've seen Dean try to get information out of kids before, and he's more... He wants to make them feel more comfortable. He doesn't want to be that intimidating sort of, like, FBI random dude figure. You know what I mean?
Oh.
That was kind of weird.
You know, you're right. I definitely thought it was... Not to say it was out of character, but, like, I could also see the fact that it was in character with him because he's messing around with this kid. Because, you know, he can't really take him downtown.
Right. And I know that he can't.
I do agree with you. I do think that's a little weird that him just saying that. But maybe because the kid wasn't going to tell him anything. So he thought...
I mean, maybe he could have been like, listen, kid, like, I'm not going to tell your parents or anything. Like, you're not getting in trouble or anything. Like, I just need to know what happened. But he didn't. He just does this weird threat of taking him downtown. But I want to say that the last time I mentioned Dean being out of character like this was in After School Special, when he, like, threw that dodgeball at that kid.
Kids, yeah.
And guess who wrote both of these episodes?
Ooh.
It was Dab. And I think somebody else, but I just noticed that his name was on here. And I'm like, do you really not understand Dean is a character in his interaction with children?
For the guy who... I'm not going to get into it.
We'll get into that later. We'll get into that later.
I don't want to get into it right now.
We're not going to
get into screaming.
We're not going to get into the Dab situation. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of odd. And a little bit It just, I don't know if it was out of character, but it rubbed me the wrong way.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I, not that I don't notice these things, but I am just kind of like, oh, but yeah. Okay, moving on. Yep. Last episode was A Curious Case of Dean Winchester, which I loved, even though Dean wasn't really in it, but like, this episode I liked because, I don't know. What do you have to say about this episode, Sierra?
Me? Oh, I got to start some thoughts?
I don't know. It was just like, you know, the curious case of like Benjamin Mutton, but not.
But Dean, it was Dean like, instead. Yeah.
And you're, he gets old. You play for poker.
Yeah, you're doing poker for years.
Yeah.
The chips turn into the years you play for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to start off, until we get into it.
Right, until we get into it. The aging was gross.
Yeah.
Really that spooky. Was gross. Didn't like that. Super unsettling.
I do like...
Feel bad for the wife.
Yeah.
That
would
have been jarring.
I said that. I was like, that would be very jarring.
Like, your 27-year-old husband comes home, and you're like, dude, what's going on? You go upstairs, let me see if he's okay. And then he's dead on the floor, looking like 99 years old.
Sierra, the best quote that you said, too, was just like, no 27-year-old is married with that size of a house.
He did say that. I'm like, this is unrealistic.
I did. I was like, well, no.
I've never met one.
I wrote down, apparently, the boys were sassy.
Don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
There were
either.
No quotes attached. Don't know what that means.
They were sassy this episode, apparently. I think they were. I think they're just, like, they just kind of, like, were just saying stuff. And I was like...
They were just saying stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, as they do.
I remember Dean slipping that bartender 100 to find out the location of the poker game.
Yeah.
You're, my friend Ben told me. Buddy, I don't know no Ben.
Well... And maybe that's what I was thinking when, like, you know, he's going to talk to, like, the poker guy. And he's like, yeah, we're going to talk. And then he's like, do I know you? And he's like, yeah, you know me. Let's talk, mister.
That was great. He's like, ah, yes, of course. My old friend.
Yeah.
Let's discuss away from here.
The only, like, the sad part was that, you know, we get sad old Bobby. Bobby just really does not want to be in the wheelchair. And he tries to play for his years. And
he loses
25 years.
He's Dean is mad.
And die. Yeah, I would be too. But it gets really sad too, because then like we hear that why Bobby kind of feels this way. Because Bobby feels like he can't do anything anymore because he's in a wheelchair.
Feels useless.
Which sucks. And I just want to be like, Bobby, shut up. More people can deal with this. But I think it's easier for him, you know, to be in the hunting life with legs.
Right.
And then also he got screwed over because like he didn't do anything to get his legs this way.
Right.
So I think he's still...
He's pissed off. It's unfair.
Yeah. And he's still... I think he's still in, like, the denial thing. Like, he just... is like, why me? That whole thing. Like, he has not accepted yet that, like, he's paralyzed and will forever be paralyzed because he knows that it could change somehow. You know what I mean? He makes a deal. He could get his leg. You know? So, right. Like, I think it just sucks that it's just so, like, tantalizingly close and then he can't have it. And then all this other shit's going on. Especially because I think everyone thinks the world's ending. So he's like, I have to be stuck here on the sidelines.
Right, during the apocalypse. Ending.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was really sad. I forgot this happened in this episode.
He even said, oh my God. I forgot really too. Because he even said that like, or I was too ticket. I was too chicken shit when I got home to like pull the trigger after the hospital. I was like, oh, Bobby, you're damn useless. They call you all the time.
I know. And the thing
is... The boys would be useless without you, Bobby.
I know. They wouldn't be able to solve any sort of monster crimes without you. And I think I liked when Dean, at the end, like, sat him down. Because Dean kind of understands what it's like to be, you know, suicidal.
Yeah.
And which no one really talks about as much, but Dean is very much suicidal.
Yeah.
Not in the...
He is totally suicidal.
Not in the actively suicidal as much. Like, if I died, it wouldn't be...
Yes.
It wouldn't be a big deal.
It wouldn't
me.
Be a big deal. Yes. Kind of suicidal. And that is also dangerous because he's just throwing his life around because it doesn't matter to him.
Like in season 3.
Yeah.
When he had made his deal and he was being super reckless because it's like, doesn't matter anyway.
I'm going to die. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
He's telling Bobby, you know, he's not useless, which was very good because he's not... Like, Bobby, full offense, you're an idiot. You are, like...
Well, and Dean, I did really like...
So not useless.
Actually, like, getting,
all.
Like, in a serious moment for that, too.
Yeah.
Because Dean is literally, like, it would upset me. Like, it matters to me that you're here. Like, so don't
I
don't
need
do
you
this.
Here.
Yeah, I need
to
you
To get
here.
Through the apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah. Like
your family.
Does he say, this, like, the world may end bloody, but, like, we still need to, like, fight together until it goes down or something? Like... He probably says that later. But But yeah, he's just kind of like, listen, the world probably is going to end, mm-hmm. but we'll be together when
we're
going
to go down swinging.
Yeah, together.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't ever want to hear this kind of talk from you again. That was really important for Bobby to hear.
And coming from Dean?
Yeah.
Coming from Dean. And I think Bobby knows that too. Coming from Dean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Dean being like, you can't give up. And he's like, I've hurt this boy bitch so much.
I know. Exactly. I liked and I didn't like it.
Yeah. I see,
good drama with Bobby was sad and I hated that.
The good characters that you get and we can analyze this stuff, even for the good filler episodes.
Because they still give us some good stuff along with, you know, fun random things.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the episode was just funny because I was just like, Dean is me. Like climbing up one flight of stairs and he's like, ugh. I'm like, oh my God, me.
You wearing your mask trying to get those stairs and you're like, ugh.
Literally one flight of stairs. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I could not breathe. And I was like, I'm going to die.
And then poor Dean can't eat cheeseburgers. Flirting doesn't work for him anymore.
Yeah, just all of it. I was just, oh
he was
boy.
Suffering. He's like, this has to change. I need my years back.
I know.
Poor thing.
And then I like how Bobby, you know, Dean's digging the grave. And Bobby's like, oh, is it your back? On your right butt cheek or something? And he's like, what?
Oh my God,
what?
How do you know that?
Why are you? No.
Huh?
Leave me alone. And he goes, it's sciatica. Get over it. Yeah. Move on.
It's just sciatica. Keep digging.
Because he seems like, he almost seems like, oh my God, is it this? And Dean's like, why? It's like, move along. It's nothing. I have it.
Because then you find Dean. Yeah.
I did like that, like, Sam kept making jokes about, like, grumpy old men. And then like, both of them were like, shut up, Sam. I'm like,
Sam wasn't laughing when he got the clap, though.
I forgot. Dude, I was so happy. Because he was like, oh, I can't let Sam leave. And I was like, were you going to steal, like, years from him, too? And then he just starts clapping. And I was like,
no, we're like,
oh,
okay.
No. Because I was like, oh, my God, I forgot. And you were like, what? No, don't tell me.
Yeah, I was like, I forgot what happened. And then we see him coming out. And I was like, the clapping. Oh, no.
That is poor Sammy. So funny. Why does this happen to Sam?
Why does poor Sam have to have the STDs? Poor thing.
I feel like this has happened a lot. Like, it's that meme of, like, find a nickel for every time this happened. I've had two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird to have it
twice.
Like, it's exactly. It really is that. Like,
it really is.
I don't know.
Can we say really quick, though, that Sam did a great job at playing this Patrick guy?
Mm-hmm.
Really killed it. Really played his opponent.
Also, I felt really good because, like, now I actually, like, understand poker.
Yeah.
So when I watched this, you know, I was a dumb girl who has no idea what poker is. And, like, I was like, I don't know. Was that good? Mm-hmm. Did he win? Like,
are those better?
I don't know.
But is two aces good?
Yeah.
Is three good?
Well, because that's what I think. You're like, aces. Oh, they're high numbers. And then, yeah, like, I was like, fours? I'm like, how is that good? Aces beat fours. Like, I don't know. Like, that
ace
was me.
Is higher than four, I think.
Yeah, but then I was sitting there because I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, he has four of a kind. Fuck you, Patrick.
But there's four fours, and that's a bigger number, so he wins.
Yeah. Like, and I was sitting there like, what can you make? What do you make? And what are you doing? Ha ha. Well, and then, like, I even went after, like, analyzing it, because the first three cards down was the four, and, like, the ace, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, not the ace. Maybe it was an ace. Something other card. So Patrick thought he was doing good because he has two aces, right?
Right.
But that Sam already was like, I'm already winning. I have four of a kind.
Right. He's like,
beat and
that,
so that's
bud.
Why he's like, I'm all in. Just do it. Like, mm-hmm. And then Patrick's, like, being distracted because he thinks Sam's being all flustered.
Right.
And I was like, Sam was just rolling in, like, trying to rack up those years for Patrick because they keep calling. And so he's like, I'm going to see how much more money I can swindle out of him. Because
mm-hmm.
Patrick said that earlier the last hand, too. Because
mm-hmm.
Sam did something like, I'm all in. And he's like, no, you want to wait to, like, yeah. get a higher bid so you can get the bid, because then he folded.
Mm-hmm.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yay! I'm making sense. This makes sense to me. This is interesting.
Yes, I remember this.
So Patrick told him what to do, and Sam did it, and he got all those years back. I am curious to see how many years Sam actually got, if mm-hmm. it was like 25 for Dean and only 25.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also had to be...
Well, he needed 50.
He needed 50, yeah, right. For himself too. So I was wondering if he had like a few extras, because I feel like he couldn't just get like 50. Like, did he get one extra year? Who did he give it to? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, didn't he need 50 for Dean?
No, he needed 25 for Dean. Oh.
And then he needed what, 25 for Bobby?
No.
No, Dean gave him the years. I don't know if
Dean... See, they don't say if Dean lost all the 50. They just said he lost.
Right. Well, so, he would have had to lost... He might have won a hand and then lost more years. Because he definitely looked older than 50 years old. Because we're 50, like...
Yeah.
You know, like 60, so...
So that's why I was curious that, like... How much did Sam... I don't know. Did he get all of his years? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Is Dean a little older?
Right? Is he a little younger?
You know what I mean? Is he a little younger? Did he take some for himself? Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. You're curious the exact number of years.
Yeah, I was curious. Sure. I didn't say that, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Speaking of Patrick, though, can we just say that this witch storyline was actually kind of sad?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, I mean, I really like when we do these Monster of the Week episodes and the antagonists are, you know, interesting and, like, sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I feel like they make the monsters more sympathetic when it sort of parallels the boys in some way. You know, like, season two is a lot of, like, the vampire, like, the gray area of who are the real monsters and stuff like that. I like when they do that.
Well, because I do think it's interesting, too, because then it gives us, as, like, the audience to tell us that, you know, living forever does sound cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, we have the female who wasn't a witch, but she was just alive. You know, she was Patrick's girlfriend. She's like, I had to bury my daughter. Like, that, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I'm tired of this. Like, this has gotten old pretty quickly. And I think that's interesting, like, as an audience member, because I feel like everyone's like, yeah, I'd live forever. But then it just shows you, like,
then forever
would you,
comes.
Though? And then you being sympathetic toward her might, like, think twice about it.
Right. Well, so, she wants to die. Bobby's suicidal. There's our parallel there.
Yeah.
For this episode. I thought it was, you know, sad. And I'm like, you know, you're right. It's living forever kind of... Or at least a really long time, like however long she was alive. Because he was 900, but we don't know when he met her. But yeah, that would be cool, but also sad. Because, you know, unless your friends are also several hundred years old, like several hundred year old witches, you're eventually not going to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of lonely. And then Patrick's all sad because, you know, he loved her. And I'm like, oh. You know, I feel bad for these guys.
I know.
I really did. Oh, I really like when they do that. When I'm kind of invested in the monsters, you know, like, I'm like, oh.
Good writing.
I know. Yeah, good writing.
Overall, I really liked all these episodes. I think this is the calm before the storm, though.
Oh, sure. Sure it is.
Because I know what episode we're watching next week.
Oh, yeah, me too. So
I didn't know if it was the next one. It's the second to next one. Mm-hmm. Episode. Oh, no, it's episode 10. Yikes. I'm not excited. We get it.
Oh, I don't think we're thinking of the same episode. Never mind.
What episode are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about changing channels.
I'm thinking of Abandon All Hope.
Oh, I've blocked that episode out of my memory. No, thank you. No, thank you. I will skip that. You can do whatever you want. I will. No, thank you.
I don't want to watch it. But anyway.
No one wants to watch it.
No one wants to watch it. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at HunterHosts. Check out our ratings of the episode and where they fall on our ranking. And then, I don't know, let us know if you agree or disagree. Again, we are your Hunter Hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
And we are driving off, and we will see you all next week in our rearview mirror. Bye.